City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you are listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 148. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm still perplexed.
You are? Why are you perplexed?
I am. I don't understand how the Jersey Boys won the Best Musical Award and the Color Purple didn't.
Well, let me tell you, the Jersey Boys just, you know what it is? It's like, how do you beat all of those great songs by the Four Seasons? I mean, I just guess I didn't realize, like, hit after hit after hit after hit after hit, what they're... I didn't even realize I had that song Come On Marianne when they did that number in in Act Two. I had Donny Osmond singing that on my Donny Osmond Deep Purple album with Donny and Marie.
Cute.
And I used to love that song. I used to sing around. I had no idea it was a Four Seasons song. I did not know until I'm sitting at the opening night of Jersey Boys.
And it's washing over me. Yeah, I mean, it's a very, very Broadway show. It's big, it's colorful, it's bold. But I just, it's the, you know, I think you said it best. It's kind of the Mamma Mia thing.
Well, you know, I actually like the show and I highly recommend it to people because I think what they did very well is they told a very complex story about four different people in a very tight, efficient way and really focused on the music and showcased the music and did it in a clean, interesting storytelling way. That being said, it's not a new idea.
No.
And the music we know is tried and true because it's good songs. And in that way, I mean, ABBA and Four Seasons are not even in the same league. ABBA just has fun kitsch factor with the music to me. But
I mean, here in the States, but in Europe, they kick their ass.
Oh, I'm sure. So, I'm sure. I'm not saying that. But
I mean, one's not better than the other, but I just wanted something more to chew on in the show.
Yeah.
It was great. Don't get me wrong. The actors, that lead guy, what's his name? Jonathan? Jared?
Jared
Spector.
Yeah.
Jared Spector, dead ringer for Frankie Valli, both vocally and just so amazing. Obviously, it's very clear to me why it won for best lighting at the Tonys. I mean, it's a visual feast. The set is incredible. Even the actors were great. Only for what they were given, though. I don't think they were given enough.
See, and that's where I disagree. I did not think the acting was good. The acting to me was what took the show and didn't make it drive it into my heart. And that was just the difference. Like, I just felt like, in the scene work, I felt like Jared and, the guys could really, really sing. I mean, what a blend. And
on his own, he
sounded just fantastic. I had a real problem with the supporting role performances, acting wise, most of them. And I didn't feel that the singers, many of them, had an opportunity to sing with any emotion or chose not to sing with any emotion while they were singing. And I'm not meaning like singing loud or singing quiet.
Right.
I just don't think that there was any connection to the song in an emotional, real human way while they were singing. And that was what to me made it fall, not flat. It just didn't pierce me the way I wanted it to. Whereas, you know, and I've said before that I think the New York production of Color Purple was stronger than the one here in Chicago in many regards, because I felt like, you know, there were more moments in the Color Purple on Broadway where I truly just felt punched in the gut by the emotion behind the songs
Yeah.
the way they sang the songs. But I thought their scene work, I thought the book for Jersey Boys was very good, as musicals go, and especially this kind of musical. I thought the book was tight and sharp. I just didn't feel anything from the performances.
I blame that on the book. I blame that on what was. I blame that on what.
Blame
they
that
had,
on direction. Honestly,
well,
personally, I do.
Okay.
And maybe limitations of some musical theater actors.
That's
another thing. I mean, it's one of the, it takes a lot to be a really great musical theater actor. You know, I was watching Charlie Rose the other night, and, you know, Mary Zimmerman, who is a famed Chicago director, has directed her first opera. She directed the opening show at the Met this year. Lucia de la, I don't know how you pronounce
Can
it.
Can you
Lucia.
Imagine the pressure?
Yeah, huge, huge. And it's been getting fantastic reviews because of the woman who plays Lucia in the lead role, who's basically a woman who goes insane. And they basically say, like, here for the first time you see a performance of truly like such an actress singing a major role in a and on Charlie Rose. She's French, and she talked about how she doesn't consider herself an opera singer, and really she'd really just rather be a dramatic actress. And and yeah, she considers herself an actress who sings, and she's starring at the Met. So it takes that kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And I understand that what the boys were doing in Jersey Boys, that kind of music, you know, it takes so much focus and technique and precision to be that tight, but you just kind of want to shake them out and go, all right, act it too, you know, because that's what I felt from this production of Altar Boys last week. I really felt like they were tight, but that they were really embodying such earnestness and passion and power out of there.
Well, I think there's also the difficulty of playing real people, of really portraying real people. And you can do only so much research, but I said this to my mom. I said, you know, if they were dead, they could have really spilled the dirt. if this was a posthumous story about the entire group, I think the show would have much more of a punch. And I think that the writers and everything in the show really could have done so much more with the material, because it just wasn't, knowing what I've heard and what I've read, little bits and pieces, it's a much darker story than it is. But, you know, the audience was on their feet.
I've never been to a show where people stood up twice during the production.
Right there. I mean, it wasn't even at the end. And
after
it,
Walk
it
Like a Man
crazy.
And after I Love You, Baby.
Right. But, you know, that's the power of pop music. It really just catches people. And obviously, in my book, the power of pop music is what got that show all the awards. And,
oh, I agree. I think it's an experience. You know, you turn around, you see a generation of people having an experience. Yeah. You see people in their 55 to 70 having an experience in the theater.
My mom was clapping her feet, clapping her hands, singing along.
Oh, I bet.
She was into it. And I was like, okay, we're watching a live jukebox. Great.
Yeah.
But with that said, it's a phenomena, and it's sitting down for quite a long time. So if you don't go now, make sure you do go to just like check it out.
And some jaw dropping, truly. I mean, the technique behind the lead actor in doing that Frankie Valli, you know, in a full show is pretty jaw dropping. I mean, it's just a circus trick, you know. I mean, it's jaw dropping.
Just to see him over and over and over. It was like a 3.5 octave range, 4 octave range.
I have no idea.
Miraculous,
but it's hitting that high falsetto tone like that. That pure and that controlled.
Holding it strong.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, you know, I had a double theater day, a double show day.
How do you do that?
And I have to tell, I love it. It takes me back to my roots of when, before I lived in Chicago, I used to go to New York and just see theater. I'd book myself up and run down to the, you know, Times Square and buy more tickets and run around. I was crazy. But I want to tell you all, walk, don't run, because this show is not going to be here long. And I know I've been telling
people.
Run,
don't walk.
That's what I mean. Run, don't walk. Walk like a man. Walk on water.
You got them on your head.
I messed it up. Stuck. Anyhow, I want people to really, really, really listen to me now. You have time to see Altar Boys, though I want you to see that. You have time to see Jersey Boys, because I know you'll want to go see that. But there is a play, a one-woman show right now called No Child at Looking Glass Theater that truly is compelling. It is 65 minutes. It is a woman who talks about the education system by showing a slice of life at Malcolm X University in the Bronx when kids were trying to learn a play to present to their school. It's a very troubled class. And this actress, in the manner of like Lily Tomlin in Search for Signs, sits there and shows you without any costume changes and literally with the turn of her head and a move of her shoulder, a move of her hands or cock of her head, 6 different students in the classroom having a conversation. And she flips through them like you snap your fingers. I mean, it is so breathtaking and it's so moving, and you feel like you need to move to an inner city, which we already live in, and go help kids in schools.
Wow.
I mean, it's inspirational. But if you love theater and if you love seeing someone create character and really connect, I am telling you, run, do not Do not miss this show. I think it is only playing through November 10th now. They had to cut a week because she got a major motion picture. So good for her. Yeah. So run to go see No Child at the Looking Glass Theater. I cannot give it a higher review. One of the most exciting nights in theater I have had. And there was nothing on stage but a few chairs and one woman who never left it. So brilliant. And it's only playing, I think, through November 10th. So lookingglasstheater.org. I can't tell you any better review than that. And it's right on Michigan Avenue, so you can go to the little Food Life Court at Macy's, get a little food, stroll down Michigan Avenue, do a little shopping. That's what I did.
Have a little wine at Mighty Nice Grill, have a little hot fudge sundae at Ghirardelli, and then go see some theater.
Buy some magazines at Borders.
You know, it's all just right there.
Fabulous. Some lingerie at Victoria's Secret. I know, Vicky K.
We'd be eating and have secrets and all that good stuff. It would be delightful.
People were talking about us. People are talking.
They were.
Talking about people.
So interesting. My father was sitting in a coffee shop in Greektown. My father, yes, he's Greek. No, he doesn't usually sit in a coffee shop in Greektown. But he was early for a job that he was going to go do a painting job down there. And calls mom. Mom calls me. Do you know? Do you know you're in the paper?
Exactly.
Do you know?
And you didn't know.
No.
I didn't know.
I didn't know. And then sort of the buzz started and, you know, there we go. So yeah, we were in the red eye.
The Windy City Queercast. We were called the Mega Gay Show and that we were like the gay NPR, which I love.
Makes me happy.
Makes me very happy. And
today on All Things Considered.
Yes, that's right. Hi, I'm Terry Gross. So anyhow, thank you. Thank you to the Red Eye and to the
Jason Steele.
Jason Steele, the boy in Boys Town. And we record out of Boys Town, so we love that. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, if you want to read more about it, you don't really need to. That's what he said. He just said he loved us and we
you
were
could
now
just
on
Google
his podcast.
Google Matheny on Red Eye. We're in his iPod.
There you go.
Yeah,
we're in his iPod. So we're downloadable. Are we in your iPod? If we're not, you know, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. If you're clicking on our website and listening to us this way, you know, go to iTunes and listen to us and get our shows, like every one of them, and leave us a little comment. We're starting to get some good comments on the iTunes after our bitch session where we were like, leave us a comment.
But I do know that a lot of people actually do listen at work, which I love that, you know, they'll just do a little pop-up thing and they'll have the little extra pop-up little window and listen, or they're download us to their work computer and do that. So that's cool too. But you know, take us with you. It's kind of fun. You'll go jogging with Amy Matheny. You'll go riding on the train on the red line, because God knows there's all these delays on the red, the blue, and the brown, and all that these days. But
what is going on with driving around Chicago?
I don't know. Can you believe we are two weeks away from Halloween? This is freaking me out.
Are we going to tell people what we're doing for Halloween?
I think we can tell people now.
All right. Why don't you tell people what we're
doing? Well, I'm not going to be here. So if you're having a Halloween party, I'm sorry, I can't come.
And I'm not going to be here either. I'm going to be with Peter on his coattails.
We're good. This is actually our first trip together.
It is.
We're going to kind of feel
it's our test run for whether or not Peter will go to more exotic
Japan.
Lands with me.
Do you have tattoos?
No.
Okay, then you can go to Japan.
Yay!
If you have a lot of tattoos, you can't go in the hot springs in Japan. But this isn't a conversation about Japan. This is a conversation about, what should we call them? The Maple Leafs? I think that's their team, right? That's their local team. The Maple Leafs, right?
I have no idea.
The Toronto Maple Leafs, right?
I have no idea.
I mean, I guess I don't know anything about
sports. I know nothing about Toronto. This is why I'm getting to go to Toronto.
So we're going to Toronto. We're going north.
We're going north for Halloween.
North, yeah. Halloween.
And we're going to be hanging out with our Windy City Gay idol, Dan Carey, who is going to be singing there. But we have been invited by Toronto Tourism to go up, and we're going to interview people. We're going to parties. We're going to sightsee.
We got to figure out some costume. We still haven't done that.
I haven't. I just decided, you know, I asked a bunch of people and people were giving me like all these crazy ideas that we should go with like upper and lower GI. Like you wear the lower part of fatigues and I wear the upper part of fatigues or vice versa and be upper and lower GI.
Oh, good. I was like, do I have to be a colon? I don't want to walk around as a colon.
No. And then somebody else was like, we could be a drag queen and like I could be... You could be a queen and I could be drugged behind you by a leash. Or I mean, people were telling me like crazy things. Of course, these were all straight people mostly.
Yeah.
Because I asked the uninformed.
Well, I saw a Pope suit the other day that I might have to purchase.
A Pope suit?
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little sad because I went as Anna Nicole Smith a few years ago and now I feel a little guilty about it.
Why?
I looked really,
oh my God, we have
very, very good.
Oh, I can't even tell you about what I was just going to tell you about. But yes, Anna Nicole. She's dead, you know. So
she's dead. I've gone as many a great dead woman.
Really?
Before. I went as Natalie Wood once. I went as Grace Kelly once. But
you could do a Holly Golightly.
A Holly Golightly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could maybe do that. I went as dead Natalie Wood, you know, like in a white nightgown with green seaweed all over me and a black wig and like the the SS Wagner around neck or something. It was awful, like a buoy. I was in college.
I'm a beacon.
Goes Grace Kelly and just wear a steering wheel around your neck. You know?
I could go as a bloated what's her face from the Poseidon Adventure, right?
Shelley Winters.
Yeah, doesn't she die? The professional swimmer.
Tragic women. I don't know. I don't know who I'm going to go as. I just decided that I should just probably bring all my boas, all my sparkles, my fake lashes, and some platforms and figure it out.
Well, here's what I thought. I can do Il Papa. I can really get the costume and put it on. And then underneath my robe, because I don't think you call what the Pope wears. I have it. It has an official name, but I'm not Catholic. I don't know what that's called. Sure.
I think it is called a dress.
Really?
I mean, seriously.
His dress? Oh, I thought it had like a Latin Italian or something
probably
weird
does.
Like that, with a vowel and too many consonants or something. And underneath that, I can get like a kid's outfit with a little backwards baseball cap and like make it look like he's blowing me or something
like that.
So I can just sort of
Muppet
flash people. Fraggle. I can just flash people with a little child like... smoking my Schwantz underneath the dress.
I love it.
So yeah,
diddling your skittle.
Flicking the bean. Girls
the bean.
Diddle the skittle. Boys flick the bean.
Yeah, but she said something else too. Well, it was the bean. Flick the bean.
Yeah, flick the bean.
Flick the bean. Hey, speaking of flick the
Halloween
bean
too.
Flick the bean and Halloween. And did you watch Tell Me You Love Me?
Oh no, I haven't.
What
watched
is going
it yet
on with? I am seeing lots Shaft inserted into vagina.
I bet you.
I cannot believe it.
I bet you it was a female director again, because every time there's a female director.
Look.
Every time there's, I have it on my DVR.
Okay, you have to watch it because literally, I don't know if that the young girl signed a contract, which is that I will fuck a guy in every episode. But it's the guy from Lost who got killed. I don't know his name, but he's come onto the show now.
Oh yeah, who she?
Ian Somerhalder. Yeah, yeah. And they are like screwing, and she's on top of him, and you can see her ass, and you can see the shaft of his cock.
But she didn't let him put it in last episode.
Oh,
so she lets him put it in
this
time.
And then we see Jane Alexander and her husband in all their glory. Her on top of him on a wingback chair.
Boobings
going
everywhere
to town, like shaking, rattling and rolling.
Her boobs are hanging out on TV.
Yeah, you don't see nipple, I don't think, but you see total, you see her totally from the profile, knee to head, totally naked, both of them, orgasm.
I bet.
And of course, Kelly's like, I can't watch him. I can't watch him. I can't watch the old people. And I'm sitting there going, this is so beautiful. Like, they're the only two I can watch have sex, because the rest of them, I'm trying to figure out if appendages are going in places.
Kelly, you're going to get that rankly someday.
I know, but you did the same thing. I know. I keep telling her, I'm like, you and Peter, y'all need to watch this show together, because...
I used to have a white-haired thing, but I kind of got
it. Kelly's like, if I see white pubes, I'm turning
it off. Oh, my God. You know, that's my father's saying. He always says, you know, you're not old until you're gray down below.
Down below. Oh, my Lord.
He said
Lord
that before, I think, under the influence of lots of Uso.
We've taken it there, folks. If you're watching Tell Me You Love Me, please leave a comment. I just want to know. Are they really having sex? Can they do that in France?
I think so.
God,
well,
could
they do
you
that
do
here
that
now? They do that here now. I saw this whole great indie sex extreme show.
I saw that
we'll
too. All four
it
of those. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
I mean,
it
they do in John Cameron Mitchell and Short Bus and things like that. But wow, it's interesting, interesting, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks. In honor of Halloween, we have a fantastic show for you. It's astounding.
Time is fleeting.
Madness
takes its toll.
That's right. We're talking about the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. The live stage musical is in Chicago with a really all-star cast.
Yeah.
And I sit down with a couple of the stars for a little interview in the Mercury Theater. And I'm going to see the show this weekend, so we'll be able to talk about it.
Who's your favorite character from that show?
You know, I always wanted to play Janet because I wanted to play Janet, but I don't think she's my favorite.
She wanted to play with Janet.
No, I just wanted to play that character. I always wanted to be in this musical and play that character. But I think if I could have been anybody and do it, well, who doesn't want to play Frankenfurter?
I don't.
But I also love Columbia because she gets the big tap dance number, and I aspire to be a tapper. So I
always
like Columbia.
Wanted to be the professor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that could probably happen.
I know. I'll just have to dye my hair gray and, shave it a little. But I always wanted to play him. I don't know what it is about his role. I just love it. Well, makes me happy.
I'm super duper duper excited.
Yeah.
And so we're kicking off Halloween now, the Halloween season with this, because we'll be bringing you a lot of coverage of Halloween from Toronto while Peter and I are there. But news and telling you what's going on in the theater scene, because we know all these shows. You got to get out and see some theater right now. It's just hot, hot, hot in this town.
Yeah,
it is
absolutely.
The town for theater.
Burning.
And we'll be back after this.
1963. Picture four guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. Four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 15th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalijah Sun, a touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor and compassion why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times calls it marvelous. No Child is playing now. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or lookingglasstheater.org.
David Sedaris, one of America's most prolific humor writers, brings his wit and social criticism to the Center for Performing Arts at Governor State University in an exclusive Chicago reading on Friday, October 19th at 8 p.m. Time Out New York says David Sedaris may just be the funniest man alive. For tickets, call 708-235-2222 or visit centertickets.net.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit Altar Boys with a Z, alterboyschicago.com.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Innovation, sensuality, and creativity will be on display as Complexions Contemporary Ballet takes the stage at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University for two nights only, November 10th and 11th. Tickets to Complexions Contemporary Ballet are available through Ticketmaster and at the Auditorium box office.
Writers Theater presents the world premiere of Evan Smith's The Savannah Disputation. Time Out Chicago raves it's a sneak attack of religious interrogation disguised as an episode of The Golden Girls. For tickets to The Savannah Disputation at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to Fiction, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a hilarious and unsettling trilogy about three small towns and three politically charged epics who staged the historic Passion Play. Award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic exposes the thorny relationship between politics and religion. Playing only through October 21st. For tickets, call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
the very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A New York woman has filed a lawsuit against a restaurant for allegedly being kicked out of the women's restroom the night of the Pride Parade. She is charging gender discrimination. A male bouncer had received complaints from patrons that they thought a male was in the bathroom.
Philadelphia swore in its first openly gay judge, Common Pleas Court Judge Daniel Anders. Anders took the oath on National Coming Out Day.
Recently, legal opinion and the state's attorney general agreed that nothing can stop same-sex couples from adopting in Tennessee. Now, several anti-gay groups have launched a new push to ban same-sex adoption in the southern state. In 2005, legislation that would ban gay couples from adopting failed.
And in a story that we've been following, Anthony Fortunato's tactic of telling jurors he shouldn't be convinced of a hate crime because he is gay did not pan out. He was convicted of manslaughter as a hate crime and faces 5 to 25 years in prison. Prosecutors say four men, including Fortunato, lured a gay Boston man and then chased him to death.
A new book called Unchristian, What a New Generation Really Thinks About Christianity, reveals that youth view modern-day Christianity as anti-gay. The book, based on a study, says that a majority of people ages 16 through 29 have a negative image of Christianity. The book also reveals that most non-Christians surveyed, 91%, thought Christianity had an anti-gay image. Most also felt the faith was judgmental and hypocritical as well. Wow, doesn't seem like Christ's teachings. Even 80% of churchgoers felt the faith is anti-gay.
The Southern Poverty Law Center reported that hateful anti-gay Russians have taken their activism to the U.S., revealing a growing movement of anti-gay Russian and Ukrainian-speaking immigrants in the West Coast. Activists have dubbed the movement's central figure, a Latvian preacher, quote, the West Coast connection and the U.S.-Latvia axis of hate.
Dear Abby has come out as a vocal supporter of same-sex marriage. Yes, Dear Abby author Jean Phillips, a.k.a. Abigail Van Buren, has publicly declared that she is an ally. She recently received PFLAG's first Straight for Equality Award for supporting GLBT folks in her column over the years.
On National Coming Out Day, gay representative Barney Frank lashed out at groups who have been attacking his decision to draw protections for trans people under his newly introduced version of ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. He warned against activists who have had an all-or-nothing approach. Frank said that the responsible governing means taking reality into account. People who then denounce those who take reality into account make it impossible for us to govern.
During a recent episode of The View, Whoopi Goldberg joked with guest Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi that she would do her if she wasn't still in office.
Whoopi.
The conversation started when Barbara Walters revealed that she had the hots for an older man in the audience who just happened to be the speaker's husband, and then accused Goldberg of wanting to do him.
Oh, those ladies. Former Kids in the Hall comic Scott Thompson dropped a racial slur during his routine at the North American Gay Amateur Alliance's annual Softball World Series. Obviously a big gig for him. Thompson's use of the N-word cleared out half of the room. He also supposedly put down Kathy Griffin during the act as well.
What is he becoming? Like the gay Ann Coulter?
Oh.
Who knows? And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
This is Daphne Rubin Vega, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. Ah.
Doing the time war. Those moments when the blackness would hit me and the void would be calling. Let's do the time warp again.
In 1973, the Rocky Horror Show hit the London stages, and based on its cult hit status, 1 year later it was stateside, making its American premiere in Los Angeles. Within another year, production began on the film, and the Los Angeles production was moving to Broadway. But it was the film that gave this science fiction, gender-bending, fantasy rock and roll musical legs. And now the musical reflects most of the film's intricacies and dialogue. Well, a production hits Chicago, and the stage musical is just in time for the gay high holidays with with Halloween. We've got Scott Alan Jones playing the sweet transvestite, Frankenfurter and cabaret star Amy Armstrong tackling the dual roles of Eddie and Dr. Scott. And I'm sitting in the lovely Mercury Theater just on the eve of their opening with both of these lovely people. How are you guys?
We're great.
I'm good.
You're so funny. You're smiling and waving.
I know.
Podcast people can see you.
Of course they
can. Hi, we're waving too. Actually, we're touching you.
Yes, we are. Inappropriately.
Yes, inappropriately. Well, of course, one would be. Now, you guys probably feel like you're really coming home because you've performed in this show before, and I kind of want to know, what do you think, based on your knowledge of the show and tackling it again this time around, what has just given this show its cult staying power?
Well, I would have to say the fans. I mean, yeah. I had no idea even when we did the show, even prior to having not seen the show, you know, in its movie state. So I guess in a way I'm still considered a virgin because
you've never seen it.
I've never seen it on film in public.
In public,
I've not
with
experienced
like a group
that.
Audience.
Yeah, with the group audience, which kind of makes me a virgin. So I guess I need my cherry pop.
Oh my God!
Oh
in
my
college,
God. Can I say
in
that?
College, I used to go to it all the time.
Yeah,
I remember in college I would go with, of course, gay men. Hello, love you, and you would all dress up, and we'd be all glittery and shiny and crazy. And I'm not going to say that we drank because we were underage, but maybe we had something for our glaucoma. But we would go there with spray bottles and toast and newspaper.
And rice.
And they actually de-virginized me, I should say, because they're like, you have to bring all this stuff. We brought it all in the bag. I'm like, what the hell am I bringing all this stuff for?
So where was this? What town?
This was in Dearborn, Michigan, of all places, because it wasn't crazy. I mean, really, it was probably a group of, I'm going to say 50 people
yeah.
in this little theater. And it was so weird because no one would be at this theater. And then late at night on Fridays and Saturdays at midnight, you could go see it.
Now, see, I was in high school and living in East Tennessee, and my boyfriend, who's now gay, Jerry, his brother was going to University of Tennessee at Knoxville, and we went up there for the weekend, and that's what we chose to do one night. And I do remember, I do remember that I got drunk because I'd never been to a movie theater where they served alcohol, and I remember that I don't even remember leaving the theater, and
oh, wow.
and we were driving back from Knoxville to Cleveland, Tennessee, where I was from, and Jerry was just talking about the film. He was like, wasn't that amazing when this happened? And the early stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, and wasn't it amazing when Frankenfurter was like climbing the curtain? I was like, when did that happen? And then that, and then the big thing that happens at the end, which I don't want to spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it. But I was like, when the fuck did that happen? I was like, he's like, were you there? I was like, I don't remember any of that. I think I'd had way too many fuzzy navels. I think that's what I was drinking at the time, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Fuzzy navels at the theater.
No, I saw it three or four times, too, when I finally got the end and went, oh, that's how it is.
Yeah, there you go. So you truly think it's just this experience that people, you know, have had with the movie and possibly, you know, that's what's just kept it going. And
I would have to agree with that. Well, like I was saying, you know, it is the fans. I mean, there is such a diehard underground group of people that when we came to do it, you know, at the Chicago Center for the first time, couldn't believe. I mean, I was overwhelmed. I mean, we had these two lesbian women. They were a couple. I don't remember their names. They were probably in their 60s.
They'll be back.
60s.
They'll be here.
Do you remember, them?
I remember them,
and
too.
And they, it was a three-hour drive for them round trip. So an hour and a half for them to come to the show. They saw our show probably five times. Every time they came, they were decked to the nines as one of the characters. I mean, their costumes were better than ours.
But then you'd have people in their 20s, too. That's what's
absolutely
so cool. You have these, you know, women in their 60s, and you have all such an eclectic mix of people. 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, and 20s. Everybody got a different taste of it. In fact, the cab driver on the way over here said to me, oh, my God, are you in Rocky Horror? I go, yeah. He goes, I love that show.
He's like, you know, he's not, you can tell, I love that show. But, you know, it's been three decades. I mean, we're talking about, well, more than three decades, because they just celebrated, like, 30 years. I mean, it was, like, 1973. Yeah. So we're talking about three decades. So it's, I was going to ask if the audiences do skew in their 40s and 50s, people who would have been going back. Not that I'm in my 40s or 50s, but I'm reaching. But you know that would have seen it in high school or college, and it was there. You know, I mean, remember the movie Fame? It was
made
very famous by that. Well, you know, back then, I think that those 60-year-old ladies that you're talking about, and for people of that boomer generation who were the early audiences of this show, you know, talking about transvestism and all this gender bender craziness, and you know, was really quite risque and theatrically radical. And what do you think that, looking at this show in 2007 and looking at it now, you know, how much freedom and liberty do you have to take this production to a place that is still edgy and still seems to...
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I go, it's edgy
people.
Every time I go to rehearsal.
Yeah,
it is.
Tell me about that. Give
because you know
thoughts.
Why? The thing about this play is you can push it to such a level where you can't only step over the line. You can really step over the line.
Right.
And still people are getting into it because of the... They know what it is.
Right.
They're not going to be shocked. It's not like we're showing The Diary of Anne Frank and all of a sudden we break out in a musical number.
Right.
I mean, it's... A
where she lives.
To me, this, right. this show know? Can take so many liberties and we try to... push it all the way to the edge.
Yeah.
And I see that all the time. I saw it in the last production I was in with Scott.
Right. Which is really it's the experience of the show. It's the nature of the piece. I mean, it's actually, you know, it's pulling people out of their comfort zone, of course, because it deals with so many different sexual things, and I mean visually what we're doing. We've got a lot of fun surprises in this show this time around. A lot of good stuff, you know, a lot of raunchy, even more pushing, you know, balls to the wall and really making you feel uncomfortable. But that's the beauty of this piece that I enjoy more so. I mean, especially being an actor in Frankenfurter and just taking this character beyond anything that I, as Scott, would, you know, I don't behave this way. I'm, you know, nothing like, but to be able to create something like that and be a vehicle for those of, you know, those of you fans and people who are, you know, come to see the show, that's exciting to be able to just transport you and just be that vehicle. And,
right. and say, he is
you
know, hot, people.
How'd you do it?
He is hot.
You know, I mean, just rip you up.
Hot. He wears these huge boots. The man is good. Thing is Scott is a hottie.
He is
and
a
then
hottie.
He's in, like, a bustier and an outfit that you're just like, holy crap.
Well, then,
so it's not even just, I don't care if you're gay, straight, bi, trans, you're going to look at Frankenfurter and be like, ooh.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, Frankenfurter is like this iconic character. You know, and I would imagine for an actor now, it's good. You said, like, you've never seen the film with a group of people, but you've seen the film and you obviously probably have done whatever research you wanted to do to develop this character and maybe even to rethink it now, doing it again.
Absolutely.
So do you feel that audiences are receptive to you making it your own variation, or do you feel ever that there are tinges of things that either Tom Hewitt or that Tim Curry kind of brought to the role that are expected that you also want to give them those kind of things?
That's a great question, because when I first did it, and even now that we're revisiting it, because this is not a remount of what we did before. This is a completely new, you know, directorial vision, you know, with Steve Hildebrand directing at the helm here. But what I did is, you know, of course I watched the movie umpteen times because I want to pay homage to what has been done before, because I feel that that's important, not only just for me creating this character, but for all of the diehard people who come, you know, because we have people, you know, they come and of course we get the backlash dialogue and all of that stuff, which is part of the fun of this thing. But you know, we also have complete control over that, which is great. And the guests who, you know, the people who come see the show, they're totally respectful of that. But that's a lot of fun play too. But getting taking notes and kind of going, well, this is what I want to keep, this is what I want to keep. I don't really want to do this, because, you know, you have to draw the line. There's a line somewhere where you go, well, I don't want to get too much like that, because then I'm not doing my job, and I don't want them to see Tim Curry up here.
Right.
I want them to see Scott Alan Jones.
And what about the look? Have you had input on all the look and the changes of his look throughout the show? Or?
Yeah, we, I mean, as far as, you know, just the facial makeup, you know, that is, it's a little, it's more glam.
Uh-huh.
It's more rock glam now than it was. I guess back then maybe it was considered the same.
Yeah.
But it was just so severe. I mean, you know, I try to, with his character, create the masculinity and the femininity. It's not just one particular thing. He is just, you know, incumbent of all of these things, so that, you know, when you see him, women go, oh my God, I want a piece of that. And men go, oh my God, I want a piece of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody wants a piece of it.
Everyone
you know,
wants a piece
so it's creating,
of it.
It's
oh, yeah.
creating all of that and trying to be it for everybody, which is what is the most amazing experience of this whole thing. So.
And Amy, I want to let you know I'm playing two guy roles, so
well, this
I'm
is
kind
gonna
of
ask you the same. Question,
I'm my own threesome,
you know?
Baby.
Yes,
you
she
are,
is.
That's
you know,
right.
You know what's really interesting is because you know I think that's what's really great is that when the off-Broadway production was done and Lea Delaria got to step into the roles that you're now stepping into, which I think is only befitting as kind of our as kind of our very own Lea Delaria torch, you know, superstar to the community and cabaret artist that, you know, now she's become, you know. What is the challenge there of being a woman and playing Eddie and playing Dr. Scott?
Are you kidding me? I've always wanted to be a guy. Not in a way that would be like a transy, like, okay, I have to say this. I think men have it going on, gay and straight men. I hang out with them all the time. Yep. I love you lesbians too. I just think that it is so nice, especially Amy. Quit touching my boob.
Especially,
Last time I played the role, I got hit on by men and women.
Yeah.
Which was really funny, but girl, wait till you see me. I got sideburns, I got the soul patch.
She's hot.
And then Dr. Scott.
I mean, flares. What your outfit?
Look at you.
Like, are you?
I'm gonna tell you this. I'm gonna be a hot.
Are you?
I'm like John Goodman in Raising Arizona hot.
There you go.
Yeah. I got a little piece going on the side, you know. I do. Watch out.
I am so scared of you.
And Dr. Scott is just crazy. I love to have an accent.
Well, there's
I think
so
it's
much
the
you
best.
Get to do with Dr. Scott. Dr. Scott can kind of be whatever you want it to really be.
Oh yeah.
You know? So
and just know it's with me. It's gonna be balls to the walls, people. It's not gonna be anything. It's gonna be conservative.
Yeah.
Have you got an inspiration for Dr. Scott, though? Is there something that, like, you kind
of do? I have a couple. Dr. Strangelove is one of the things I was thinking of, or another one was The Crazy German and The Producers.
Ah, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can take, it's almost like what Scott said. You want to take a whole bunch of different characters and kind of, like, put them all together.
Yeah.
So you almost want to pay, like, an homage or a tribute to these other people who have done crazy roles or everything.
Right.
And then you want to put your spin on it as well.
Right.
And I think the cast we have is stellar.
Tell
I think
us about
the people
some of
in
the
it,
cast people
Oh, my
that
God.
Have.
There are so many beautiful men and women in this production. You guys are not only, they're so talented, but they're also incredibly attractive. So it's one of those things where you're going to be like in awe and want to touch everybody on stage.
We are the true melting pot of America company for the fall here in Chicago. I mean, we have African Americans, we have Hispanics, white America, Black America, we have everybody. And there really is something for everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, my girlfriend who plays
big dicks.
Who plays Columbia? Carla Beard. She's beautiful.
Yes.
She's a beautiful black woman.
Molly
who
Callanan.
Has a rack and just fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Molly.
Molly Callanan.
Is in it. Yeah, she's great.
Magenta coming. Back
she's
magenta.
One of the.
Oh my God,
from
our
the
Rocky.
Band, people will know her. From,
yes, she's
from Catfight.
Lead singer from Catfight.
From Catfight, mm-hmm. which is.
And
cool.
our Rocky is hot.
Yeah,
oh my God, and you get to touch on him? You're so lucky.
Tell ya. Yeah, come, you want to see this, I promise.
Oh, can I tell him?
No.
No, I can't say anything about
it. Big secret.
Let me just tell
you
this. He is hot. And if you boys don't come see this, you are missing out on something.
Well, tell me, we were just talking about, you were saying that, you were saying, Scott, that like the whole thing has kind of been re-envisioned this time around. And, you know, I've heard buzz from Steve a little bit that this is going to be much more in that feel of the rock concert. And here at the Mercury Theater, you know, you really feel like you're coming to see some sort of rock concert or that type of feel. What kind of elements of that will make people feel like they're in that kind of setting? Will you be using handheld mics, or is it more just the pulse and the vibe you're going to have from the music and the bass of the music? And
well, it's going to be the latter of that, what you said, combined with handheld microphones.
Yeah.
We have completely just gotten rid of the whole, you know, mic, wireless, all of that stuff. So it's all going to be handheld, which obviously is going to create that rock vision already.
Yeah.
And if you have not been in the Mercury Theater, it's a proscenium stage. And it seats about 200-300 maybe.
It's got a little balcony,
there's
which
a balcony
is great.
Above
we're sitting
us.
In. The seats are so comfortable,
yeah.
I have to tell you, which is great.
And they're big girl friendly.
And they're big girl friendly.
Well, there you have it.
There you go. Lots of long leg room.
Yeah.
It couldn't be a nicer theater in the city of Chicago. It's
really
just
nice.
Such a great
Oh, yeah. I can already tell, like, when we were practicing, I like it that we're going to have the handheld microphones because other productions I've done, I think it's a better sound quality as a performer. You know, I've been singing for a long time, and I think having a handheld, you can have a better sound quality. You know, there's always
you can
seems
get
to
it
be
wet.
Problems.
I kind of like it wet.
That Madonna microphone,
yeah,
I mean, it's good, but we've always had problems in the past. Remember, we had to deal with so many problems. I think this really rectifies a lot of situations to make it better. Plus, it puts that element on. It almost reminds me of you've seen the Sweeney Todd with Patti LuPone, where it's almost like they're in the middle of the orchestra, and they're kind of different. It's not a lot of you know, it's more simplistic, but it still has more power. Because this music is very powerful.
Well, and it elevates, you don't need a lot. It elevates the musical numbers as well. Oh, people grab microphones and really start.
Right.
You
know. Acoustically, I mean, we were sitting in a brick box, basically, and with the sound being bouncing off. And, of course, we have this amazing sound system in here, you know, coupled with all of the singing that we have and, you know, the music that we have got going on. But the other big thing, which I love about this, is the intimacy of this theater.
Yeah.
We have complete and utter access to grab and grope every one of you, which we didn't get, we didn't really have before, which is fantastic, and that's what I love about
really
this.
Because you can really leap right off the stage.
If you really, I mean, you really want to experience this show, well, you need to be able to experience it like that. And I love the fact that I'm able, we are able to give it to all of them this way. It excites the hell out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, to be able to just come out and reach out and grab somebody's tit or dick or whatever it is, that's fantastic. Because that's Rocky Horror, baby, and I'm Frankenfurter, so deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That made my nipples hard, didn't it?
I'm a little moist in my
mouth. I tell you. Amy, you can't wait. You want to talk about a hot ticket for Halloween.
I'm telling you. I do believe that, you know, Halloween is the high holidays for the gay community. And so I'm so excited that you guys are doing this. And you're running for a limited run. It's only going to run for 8 weeks, folks. So you're really going to want to get
And also, if you can't get here at Halloween, because we're going to be totally sold out, but you have to check for tickets. Remember, in November, we're going to be doing it, too. And don't think that we can just live it and be it every day. And let's make it.
Right. Yeah. It's good to get it early. It really is.
So tell me, now, will the audience participate like the film? You kind of referred to that. Will people bring their props? Will they be encouraged to dress up?
Well,
dressing
up is fine.
Yeah.
But because this is a live production, obviously because of liability and things, obviously there is no throwing of rice and stuff like that. We can't have that just for the safety of actors.
No
and
toast.
Also for,
but you can bring us chocolates.
I mean, for the audience members as well. There are liability issues, and obviously theater goers know that that can't happen. However, you know, it has in our experience. Been that, you know, with the opening of the show, I mean, there are the diehard people who, you know, from the beginning, they love the banter. They're so used to it, and they know it so well that, you know, they
have
the response.
You'd have to muzzle them.
They have the response. And see, that's the great, great thing that's built into this show, that we have the power to control that.
Right.
And what's great about that is that they're respectful and mindful of it. So it's fun to enjoy that, to kind of feel the audience, because every night is different, and
well,
that's so important
to remember.
Well, you're
going to have some nights where there's a lot of newbies here who don't know
absolutely.
Responses, and there are going to be nights where you are just full.
And then we have a crowd of
where
it's almost everybody is responding.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, okay, well, enough is enough. Okay, fuck off and shut up. Let us do the show.
Right.
You know, but it's all in play, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, like I said, it's everybody's mindful and respectful of where they are and what's going on. And I mean,
yeah, and I had fun too, because if I forget, you know, my line, you just have to yell it out for me.
Yeah. Do I stay here?
Because bottom line, we've...
Wait, Scott, I have no idea.
Come on, give it to me, man.
We have, and you know, the bottom line is we have a great fucking show for you guys.
Yeah.
And we really want to give it to you.
Dress up, you guys.
Yeah.
Dress up, please.
Yes.
We love it when people dress up. Why not?
Yeah.
When do you ever get to dress up that much? I mean,
exactly.
Come and see us and dress up and be silly. And if someone's ever seen it, dress them up and tell them all about it and bring them here.
Absolutely.
Now, if you weren't playing Dr. Scott and Eddie, who would you want to play? If you could play anything. If we were doing
anything?
Rocky Horror for the Blind,
gosh.
I don't
Duh,
care.
Duh, Frankenfurter, of course. Because that'd be really cool. But you know what's so funny is I'm glad I play character roles. I'm glad I play the roles I do because they're never boring.
Yeah.
You know, in college and in high school, I always got the character role or the old lady or you know, the grandma on Pippin or the... you know, the backup singer in Little Shop of Horrors, or I was the, you know, it was so funny because people always said that, you never get to play the ingenue or play the lead. No, but I think I like the roles I play, and I think those are really memorable roles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do.
Absolutely.
How about you? Could you imagine playing anybody but what you're playing, or would you want to? And
That's
We're doing Theater for the Blind.
It's so hard
and you get to
say.
You get to put on a different outfit if you would like to.
I mean, you know, not to pat myself on the back, I mean, the obvious choice would be Rocky, but... You know,
he's got the bod for it, people.
I don't know. I'd have to really think about that. I just enjoy playing Riff Raff, Frankenfurter so much. I mean, he is the embodiment of everyone on stage. I mean, he just is all of that. He's just everybody
in the essence of the show.
You know, which is a huge challenge. I mean, it's what's so exciting. That's why it's never the same twice. I mean, for me anyway, I mean, it's, you know, I try to keep, you know, keep everything grounded and centered, but there's so much play, which is so much fun. I mean, you know, my God, my interaction with this one here. And, you know, I mean, it's just exciting. It's so much fun.
I can imagine, like, every night of this show is truly a different show.
It is.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a whole new experience.
And you know, when you're having fun on stage, people have fun that are in the audience. That's my,
exactly.
That's been something I've always said is, if I'm having fun on stage, I hope you can feel it. And you usually do. And that's why this is the kind of show that you're going to come out of. It's almost like coming out of, you know, like Mamma Mia or something, where you're singing along with the music and you're into what you're doing, and but it also has like the sexual edginess to it. So I think
Mamma Mia only wished it.
Oh, honey,
the Meryl Streep might try to put into the movie Mamma Mia, but who knows?
You know, that's what I love is like if you're with a couple, you see them and they're all getting into it, and then it's kind of sexually exciting for them. If you see someone by themselves, they meet people and everybody's just laughing, having a good time, singing along.
Yeah.
And that's what we want. To me, that's what I want every time when I experience theater or cabaret or anything. I just want people to have a good time.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, everybody will have a blast. So you do not want to miss it. The Rocky Horror Show starts October 12th. Those are the previews. It's running 8 weeks only at the Mercury Theater, which is 3745 North Southport, just north of Addison on Southport. If you want tickets, you can visit Ticketmaster.com. That's easy online. Or you can call the Mercury Theater box office, 773-325-1700. That's 773-325-1700. You've got to be 17 or older. That's probably going to sell some tickets because there is adult subject matter in the show.
A lot.
And be sure not to bring your rice. You can just put your little playbill over your head. Maybe you have a little pin light in your purse, but we don't want all the messy stuff or dangerous stuff. But get your tickets now, folks. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a great show to get a group of friends together, I think, and come and see it. This is truly one that you just want to come with 10 or more.
Absolutely.
And go out and have drinks before, after, during. There's a bar right here,
yeah,
you know.
You get to drink during the show.
So, oh, you do.
Yeah.
Taking it to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
So, definitely come out, and I really appreciate Amy Armstrong and Scott Allen Jones both being here with us. And everybody get your tickets. I know I will be in the front row of the balcony, I believe.
Hey. All right, girl.
Looking down on all of you.
She's probably going to be.
G-string.
You're going to totally have the hots for me. You're going to have the hots for me when you see me in drag.
Oh, I love it.
Amy, get off me. Come on. The interview's over. Stop it.
Wait, don't leave me out.
Come on in.
God damn it.
You're pretty too.
Yeah.
You're pretty too.
Yeah. Check it.
Yeah.
So check out the Rocky Horror Show at the Mercury Theater, folks. Go to Ticketmaster.com or call the Mercury Theater box office.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite, transsexual, Transylvania.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.